The date was July 7th, 1967, when a musical bomb went off. That's when four long-haired Englishmen who had hair shorter than mine, they sang together in a band named after bugs, and they belted out these words: love, 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 all you need is love, love is all you need, that is what you need. And they sang that song in under 4 minutes. John Lennon composed that song. He used a great concept that is found in the Bible. In fact, one of the lines of that song is directly lifted from the book of Ecclesiastes. Amazing. And Lennon starts the song and he sings love 9 times. And then, just in case you didn't get it, he sang 12 times, all you need is love, followed by 5 times, love is all you need. And then, just in case you don't get it, he ends the song by singing 4 times, that is all you need. Do you know that song? Yeah? Yeah, my parents never liked that song. Anyway, John Lennon wanted to give the world a message. And the nice thing about it is that the message couldn't be misinterpreted. It was a clear message saying that love is everything. Now, we've heard this morning in the gospel a very staggering truth. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, so I love you. That's right. You can talk. It's okay. So, as the Father loved me, Jesus says, I love you. Let the shouts begin. Let the music to the Lord ring out. Use harps, trumpets, ram's horns. For even the sea responds and the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing. When's the last time you had a really good shout to the Lord? By your silence, I'm assuming you've never done it. What's with that? How many times in scriptures does it say shout to the Lord? Well, I encourage you. You know, when you feel that connectedness with God in some unique way and he just moves in your spirit, why don't you let out a shout? It's okay. He'd like it, I think. It's a term of endearment to him. You know, when Jesus slipped away from the crowds, he wanted to do one thing. He wanted to bask in the love of the Father. After all, this love relationship always existed. It never was not. Now Jesus says, that's the way he loves us. Can you get your head around that? That's serious love, my friends. The love that the Father had for Jesus is the love that Jesus has for us. And with it comes an invitation. Jesus says, come, abide, dwell, stay, remain. Remain in that love. That means that we receive his love and we receive his words of love to us and for us. My friends, we are to soak it up. Now, we have lots of plants in and around our house. They are watered regularly, and they love to soak up the water. And you know, when they soak up the water, they bless us with vigorous growth, and they're green or yellow or, they're variegated ones, and the flowers are just amazing. You know, without soaking up the water, what happens? They die. You're right. Now, we have some well-meaning plants, and they show some very vigorous growth sometimes that I feed Roundup to occasionally, because Roundup is a poison, and I don't want those plants. I recently bought a tiger torch to burn them out. Oh, it was fun yesterday. Well, Jesus says, soak up my love and what? Produce fruit. what happens if I soak up condemnations? What happens if I try and live it up, soaking up stuff that harms me? What happens? I die. You're right. Death comes. Self-condemnation doesn't give life. Trying harder doesn't give life. His love gives life. So what remains for us to do is simple. My friends, soak up the love of Jesus. Just as a branch soaks up the nutrients of the vine, we soak up the love of Christ. Oh. But the problem is, sometimes we soak up the contaminants. Sometimes there's condemnation, there's fear, there's self-effort, and we wonder, where's the fruit? My friends, Christ's love is the nutrients on which we feed, which results in doing the things that he has asked us to do. He invites us to trust him. And if there is anybody that's trustworthy, it's Jesus. And so he says, trust. And then we do what he asks of us, and by doing what he asks, we experience more of his joy. And the more of his joy that we experience, the more we do. And we produce fruit. It's great. What an opportunity we have. Because we remain, we dwell, we stay, we abide in his love. And Jesus infuses our lives with his joy so that our joy may be complete. Now, what's not to like about that? I like it. Let the shouts begin. Let the music of the Lord ring out. Use harps, trumpets, and ram's horns, for even the sea responds to this stuff. The rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing. Oh, did I say that already? You know, that's the third time you've heard that this morning already. I think we better listen. And this isn't just any kind of joy. It's Christ's joy, meaning it's the joy found in the wonder of a worshipful relationship with God. Christ's joy fulfills our joy. And this is the joy, quite simply, of being who and whose we are. My friends, we are branches connected to the vine. And the vine is the Father showing bounteous love through the branches. Now, some years ago, a buck passed through our front yard. And he felt this need to mark our Japanese lilac tree by rubbing his horns in the glands on the front of his forehead onto our tree. And by doing that, he stripped a lot of the bark off around the tree. And now our tree had damaged goods. And it wasn't doing so good. Oh, we were sad. And we loved that tree. So we covered the damage, we watered the tree, we gave it nutrients, we protected it, and nursed it back to life. And guess what? The tree rewarded our love for the tree by leafing out and producing flowers. And we rejoiced. Our joy was restored, and we really enjoy that tree. My friends, we are connected to the love of God. That love nourishes us, and we soak it up, which results in loving God and loving each other. We are to be people of love. This can be hard. Because sometimes love is difficult. Sometimes it's even frightening. Oh, it's easy to sing along with a funny group. Love, 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 love. We can sing that song. Many of us know the tune, and I would sing it to you if I was a singer, but you know that I'm not, so I'm not going to bore you with that. You know, sometimes Love seems so impossible to put into practice and realize because some people are difficult. But Jesus is clear. He says true love for people is possible. And the source, of course, is God's love, and we are connected. And so here comes the invitation of Jesus. He says, love one another. That means us. We love each other. We love those we come in contact with because each of us have a circle of friends and people here, and we have people outside, and we are to love each other. We are to be known as people who love others. Sometimes we have to give up our own rights and our own preferences, our own needs for the sake of another. And that's exactly what Jesus did for his friends because that's what they needed and that's what we need. Those guys back then needed a Savior in the same way as we need a Savior to die for us. And so that's what Jesus did. Did you hear in the gospel reading that Jesus uses the word friends? Amazing. You know, before I was a minister, I was a certified property manager, and I was responsible for way too many apartment buildings, and I want to forget about that, and way too many large condo associations, and I want to forget about that. You know, I had lots of managers, and I had employees under me, and I had people that I contracted out business. I had lots of subcontractors that I worked with. I interacted with my staff daily and many of the subcontractors, and they were spread out all over the city of Saskatoon. They were in the dark about what I was doing and where I was doing it all. They didn't know what I was. They were my employees. They were not my friends. They didn't even know each other, that they worked for the same company sometimes. And they certainly didn't know what all I was responsible for. They were not my friends. You see, there's a difference between those who worked for me and those who I called my friends. Jesus says, I have called you friends. That's a very important distinction. We're friends. He left the heavenly places with the Father. Can you imagine that? And he took on being human. And he did it because he loved us and he went to the cross for us. So, what am I supposed to do knowing all of this? Well, it's simple. Abide. Stay. Dwell. Remain in the love of God. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Spend time reading the word of love found in his word of love to us. Talk to him as your friend. Not as some distant entity that's far away someplace that's not interested. Just as Jesus shared the intimate details of his life with his disciples, so it is our responsibility to share the intimate details of our lives with the Father, with the Son. And even when we don't know the words, the Holy Spirit interprets the inner groanings of our hearts because sometimes we don't even know the words to say. But pour your heart out to God. Trust Him with the details of your life. Soak up His love. Another thing is that we are to love each other. You know, the first time that I came into this church was quite a number of years ago. And it was Sunday morning, and I went to the 8:30 service. And I was handed this little red book. You've got some in your pew. This little red book, it's got really fine print. I can't read it. I always take the large print that there's in the back there. But, you know, and I was given this little book, and I was told that we meet up at in the choir part here, and we were sitting, there were some people sitting there already, and I had this book, and I came up the center aisle here, And I was looking around. Oh, this is a beautiful place. Look at all the stained glass windows, and they all tell a story. And I stopped halfway up, and I looked around, and I said, "What's with the flags?" I'd never been to a church with flags like this in it. And I was invited to sit up here, up on the front here, and somebody told me what page to go to, because I didn't know what page to go to. And by the time I found the page that I was told to go, they had moved to another page. And I didn't know whether to stand, sit, or kneel. I was completely lost, and I figured it out real quick. All I had to do was watch Ken Gar. Now, he's not with us anymore, but he was here. And when Ken stood, I stood. When he sat, I sat. When he knelt, we got along really well. And I figured it all out. Well, but you loved me. And you took me aside. And I remember John Crisp comes to me, and I says, "John, what's with the flags?" And he explained all the flags to me and their importance. And then that's why they're hanging here. Now, there's lots of stuff in the sanctuary. And if you'd like to know about them, there's this little booklet. It's on the shelf over there. And take one, and it explains all the stuff that's in our nave here. So feel free to take one. They're available there. It's interesting reading. It'll take you about 5 minutes. But you loved me, and you gave me an opportunity to serve you, and I appreciated it. And I've been able to serve not only with the work of my hands, but with my life and with the words that I say. And so last year I became a priest here, and I love you. I love being here. I love what I do. It's exciting for me, and I enjoy it. But my friends, love is a two-way street. So if you like what somebody is doing, go to them and encourage them, love them. Tell them you appreciate them. Tell them that it's meaningful what you do. Talk to them, encourage them, because we are to encourage one another. But what if I don't like what they're doing? Same thing. Go to them. But remember to be kind. If you want to be listened to, tone your voice down, tone your passion down, and love them. Be gentle. Treat them the way you would like to be treated. Now, you have been a very encouraging to me. And it may be that I may be doing something that isn't communicating my love for you. I believe that I'm doing the right thing, but I don't know. Maybe I'm screwing up. Come, encourage me, talk to me, and let's talk about it. Sometimes I just need more information. Sometimes you might need more information. But that's loving each other. Our challenge is that we are to love each other. And sometimes it also means that we're quiet. But God has given us a voice, and let's encourage one another. Let's enjoy and love each other. Jesus reminds us that he is the initiator in fruit bearing. He chose us and has appointed us for the purpose of bearing fruit. That fruit is loving each other. Jesus does not choose or appoint without enabling. The Father lifts up and prunes, and the Son pours out his love into us. And we love each other, and you know what happens? Tasty fruit happens. That's what happens. This is Christ's staggering love for us. Enjoy today.